This podcast starts off with a bit of a bonus track. Most of the time when we call a guest, there's a little bit of discussion on the front end. Well, with Warren Pohl, that discussion is worth making part of the podcast. So sit back, enjoy a bit of pre-episode banter. Think of it as a bit of a pre-run stretch as we lean forward and bring on Warren Pohl.
I'm going to send you an email that shows you how we have our video camera propped in a skeleton's mouth.
Nice. Look at that. You've got popping things over your mouths and everything. Yeah, I've got a mug of tea.
Yeah, but you sound great. Where's your microphone? Is it in the...
I'm just using these headphones because my wife's asleep in the room next door.
That works great. I hope you don't wake her up.
Oh no, I'm sure she'll be all right. She's got earplugs in and everything, and it's it's still pretty early, so.
Very good. Well, we'll try to go as long as humanly possible with the video, and sometimes our audio quality starts to deteriorate. But it would be very cool if we could watch you through this event.
Well, that would be this is amazing. I can see you. It's the wonders of modern technology.
It's amazing. It's like I'd like to go out and run with you, Warren. That's what I'd like to do.
That would be a ball.
Let's just get out there and do it. Is that a big gulp?
No, this is there? No. Scott's carrying his big.
This
gulp.
Is, and it has Diet Coke in it. So
mine has Tailwind.
Don't judge me.
Tailwind is it? That's not a good name for a food.
We need to send you some. Do you have any Tailwind there, Scott? Can we get somehow?
We have some samples.
Well, let's send him some.
We can.
Yeah, let's get him some Tailwind somehow.
Okay. Tailwind is a electrolyte caloric drink that a husband and wife started in Durango, Colorado, and it rocks. The stuff is just amazing.
It's described as savory, and so it has calories, 100 calories per scoop, but it doesn't have that sweetness that we get tired of. As they say, it gets better as the day gets longer. Do they say that?
Nice.
You do.
I say that. Now, it started off, he went and looked at the...
it's 4:30 in his time. Maybe we need to get going on the podcast.
If anybody has to go to bed, it's us. I mean, he's fresh. So they went and he scraped these electrolytes off his arm and he said, I need to put this back into me. So he broke it down and created the electrolyte drink that we now know as Tailwind.
Tailwind, I like it. Well, that's a good bucket. So I like the savory idea because there is nothing worse than getting totally sweeted out about 6 hours in.
Yeah, that is it.
Amen.
All right, are we ready to start? And we're going to take you up on the you interviewing Scott, Faith, and I, but we'll have to do this.
What?
We can't tell Faith that Warren's going to be on the podcast.
We should just.
Otherwise, she won't roll. She's just not going to show.
Who is her favorite hero, running hero?
Oh, I don't know. We'll find somebody.
Killian Lance Jornet. Armstrong.
We'll go Killian.
Killian Jornet is going to join
us. That.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. She'll show up. Even if she's actually sick tonight. She was supposed to be with us. This is the third hour of podcasting. You're the last one for the night.
No wonder you are piling through the electrolytes, and I am proud to have even made the bottom of the list. That is a marathon piece of podcasting.
Hey, we're ultra runners. We can do it.
All right. Let's get going.
We're not even warmed up yet.
So
wait a minute. Have you done a race recently?
Have I done a race? Only the one, and it doesn't even count as an ultra, so not really, no.
Okay. I thought that you had one that was coming up after... The big A race.
The big A race. No, there's been nothing major bar a bit of running around and a few shorter races. How about yourselves? Hang on. Haven't you guys got something coming up?
Let's go past that subject and get on with the podcast. No, I ran a 50-miler a few weeks ago that was just miserable. I was poorly trained and arrogant going into it, and the trail humbled me.
Yeah, but apart from that, it was great, right?
Exactly.
I met some good people.
He ran with the mayor.
Really?
You know what? Actually, Warren Pohl, God bless you, because my strategy going into it, and I think we even had a podcast where we talked about this, and I told Don, I said, my strategy, I'm going
to
run with the mayor. And
I
was the last person out of the start gate, and I just said, I'm just going to hang back here. I'm not going to care about... Yeah, I have nobody that's going to pass me because I'm the last one. And
it was liberating, I bet. I bet you felt great.
Oh, it was great. And it actually panned out to be very, very good until about mile hour 4 or 5, and then things got worse. But I finished, and I got a nice shirt.
Not a gilet.
What a perfect way to roll in a new strategy like that. No pressure, no nothing. It might not all have worked, but you've got that memory of how it started if you want to use it again.
Well, our full purpose at Trail Runner Nation has changed, and the main purpose is to make sure.
Do I know about this change, Scott? Okay.
No, well, not, you will hear in about a second.
All right.
Is we want to popularize the term running with a mayor. We want that to become a trail runner idiom.
That's our entire purpose of this podcast?
Exactly.
All right. Very good.
It's the little things in life, Warren.
This is like Monty Python's meaning.
Are you recording this? Again. Everything's recorded, pal.
Are you recording
this? Oh, yeah. This is part of the podcast.
Okay.
Are we recording?
I'm not nervous. I got this. Let's just do it.
Hey, give me a little 1-2.
1-2.
4-3-4-5-6. Check.
Well, thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I am Scott Warr.
I'm Don Freeman.
And Faith is not with us. She has been...
She's still alive, Scott. What are you, pronouncing her death? What is this?
You're getting a little loopy tonight, aren't you?
This is...
She at the last minute came down with some illnesses, and she thought it would be better for her to rest and recover, which we completely agree with and support her with. And so, unfortunately, she's not with us. So you'll have to deal with some mediocre questions.
Right, from Scott and I.
Yep.
But we're making it up with a fantastic guest, someone that can pull not only a guest's weight, but also Faith's, which is, saying a lot.
Boy, you are going to get killed when she hears this.
Well, I wouldn't mean figuratively, not her body weight.
She is going to kill you.
Scott, you didn't even have to open that up and acknowledge it, because now it is...
Well, you knew it was bad when it started coming out of your mouth.
No, I didn't even acknowledge it was bad. I didn't feel it was bad at all.
It was bad.
Okay.
She's going to...
Let's introduce our guest,
Maybe
Scott.
We shouldn't let her know about this podcast.
We won't. I don't think she subscribes to the podcast, so we'll be all right.
She doesn't listen. Tonight's guest is one of our favorite guests and our favorite Brit.
Oh, there's no doubt.
This is Warren Pohl from London, England, has joined us this evening, which for him is a lovely 4:30 a.m. It's his turn to get up early, and we're enjoying our time that we're going to spend this morning with Warren Pohl.
A little bit different this time. Go ahead, Warren, please.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, I'm just looking forward to complimenting your mediocre questions with my mediocre answers. And, I think we could have a really mediocre hour ahead of us. And I just really wanted to G everyone up by putting that thought out there.
Well, you know what we can do is we can edit Faith in on occasion when it gets a little low. I'll just put in a good question and maybe a comment from her from other podcasts. It may not even be relevant to our discussion.
Who knows? Maybe this is just a compilation of outtakes.
That it is, sir.
So, Warren, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been on the downside of the UTMB, entering that strange world where you make the decision to take it easy, remove the pressure from your training, and just let your body recover a bit, which has that interesting moment where you sort of wonder, oh, am I throwing it all away? And, you spend a week not doing much, and then suddenly panic, you're going to lose every ounce of your fitness, go out, do something stupid, realize you're still weak as a kitten after the race. And it's odd in that the recovery is taking me much longer than it would have done from a similar sort of distance in training. And I think that's just because the big goal is done. So mentally or something, I know I've come to the end of that cycle, and it's definitely taken me a good 6 to 8 weeks to get sort of back to normal running fitness, I think.
That's very interesting. After my first 100-miler, it took me a good 2 months before I could really feel good on even a short, like 5 or 6 mile run. I mean, it took me quite a while to recover from that.
It's weird, isn't it? In the way that if you were in the build-up to that 100-miler, you could have had a big sort of training race or something, and within a week or two, because you know you've got that goal still ahead of you, you'd be back on the trail pretty much at the same strength. But once it's out of the way, it seems quite different.
So have you been eating some of your favorite bad treats? And did you gain it? And did you gain any weight?
Okay, answer to question one, absolutely. I have discovered there is this drink, and it's called beer. You know? I recommend it to you. It's probably, I don't think it would be good for running. I hadn't had some for a while, but that's been fun. Plenty of pizza and plenty of other wrong stuff. But being a natural string bean, the weight gain has yet to come on, but the specter of becoming a skinny fat man is always enough to get me back on the trail.
Now I've heard that Englishmen drink their beer warm. Is that true?
It is. I mean, we don't actually heat it up, but
unless it's summer.
Unless it's summer.
Do you have refrigerators over there, Warren? Is that why it's warm?
Well, we have the refrigerators, but here's the funny thing. We're not very good with them. So in the same way the British population gets confused in the summer, the sun comes out, some people are hiding in their house wondering what the big bright thing in the sky is. Other people are stripping off the T-shirts to get burnt immediately, and other people are just still obstinately wearing their winter clothes because we don't really know what to do. When you want a cold beer in summer, you can't always guarantee that beer you buy, even if it should be a cold beer, is going to be that cold. You know, you come to places in America where you have real heat, and when you order a beer, it is cold. So, you know, we're not very good on the cold thing. But come winter, our room temperature ales, now, those are always room temperature because clearly you don't have to worry about refrigerating those. So that would be our warm beer, which is, as we get into winter, quite comforting, I must say.
Well, some might say that the Americans need to chill theirs to get over the taste because you guys know how to brew properly. Any truth to that? I'm just throwing that out there.
No, there is definitely some truth. I think the idea that Americans can't brew beer is not true. However, I would rather be run over by a bus than drink Budweiser.
I want to call back to a comment made earlier of eating after a long run. I mean, after
binging after a long run recover eating?
No, so you've trained hard, the A race, whether it's 50 mile or 100K, whatever it is, and all of a sudden your appetite is just crazy. You just can eat anything, everything, and everything looks good. Everything tastes good, and you want more and more. And you're not running, but you're still filling your mouth with just food, food, food. And you get a pass for a while. You get a pass for a week and 2 weeks, and the scale will tell you there is no change. But there is a tipping point. And I don't understand the phenomena, but there is a point that you can literally gain 5, 7, even 10 pounds with just 2 or 3 chips.
You know, I have to also add something here, too, that maybe Warren is too young to realize.
He is a young man. He's closer to Faith's age than our age.
He's not an old guy. He's a young guy. I think as he gets older, even though he is a self-proclaimed string bean,
right?
I think that once he gets older, like you and me, right, he's going to realize that eating that that junk and drinking that warm room temperature
ale,
beer,
right,
is going to pack on some pounds. So beware. I'm telling you right now, beware.
Well, we're looking for the phenomenon that we would call here pulling the ripcord, where you hit a certain age, you know, like inflating a life raft, and all those years, there you are, nice and compact, and then all of a sudden, come 42 or whatever, bang, there you are, an extra 10 pounds a day, straight off.
You hit the nail on the head, Warren.
That's one for the interview. I don't know how old you gents are. I'd always figured we were around the same age.
Oh, no. Oh, that's good. You know, we use a filter. We have a filter to give ourselves a younger voice. I have options on GarageBand to go helium voice, mouse voice, and then younger person voice. And that's what I use for you and I, Scott.
Don is 65, and I'm 30.
Thanks, Scott.
And I'm 59. I'm still younger than him.
That is not true. But it's It's close probably to that.
All good material for the interview when we get to it. We'll unmask you yet.
We haven't started the interview yet.
This is part of the interview, Warren. I'm 49. I'll just lay it out there. I'm 49.
And I'm 45.
Oh, well, congratulations. You both look stunning and better than the skeleton in the corner.
And yeah, that's right. And Faith always reminds us of how old that really is in dog years.
this is a treat because we're using Skype as we have with Warren. And tonight we are, and this morning for him, we are video Skyping. And it's our first chance to literally be face-to-face with Warren Pohl.
Other than with photos.
With photos, we've seen what he's looked like, but it's pretty cool to have a face to face discussion.
And for the nation members out there, he looks pretty good for 4:30 in the morning.
Oh yeah, yeah. And
what's your drinking there, by the way?
What in my cup or in your giant cup there?
In your cup.
in my cup, this was a large. Well, you see, this is large in England, but clearly this wouldn't even be a cappuccino where you're at. But this was tea. This was Earl Grey tea. And I feel a bit better for that, I must say.
With a spot of milk?
With a spot of milk. No sugar, just a spot of milk. And no poncing around with the lemon either that some people seem to think is good in Earl Grey.
Excellent. Well, let's get on to
Have we started the podcast?
Let's get into our subject.
15 minutes in.
Do you know what the subject is?
You know what? I don't.
Don has prepared very well for this podcast. The last time we talked,
ouch, that bus hurt, Scott.
The last time we talked, I guess somehow we alluded to how running can equate to our personal lives, and more specifically, how it can be a metaphor for our working lives. You remember that, Don?
No, but we can replay it.
You are 49.
Yes, that's right. I am the elder statesman here.
You are. Tell us in general terms what
does that mean?
What does that mean to you, Warren?
Well, what it means to me
in English, please.
Here's what it was in the Queen's English. There was in one of our fine discussions. You asked me if. How does the discipline and everything you've learned from ultra running filter into your daily life? And
great question.
It was a great question.
Was it, Faith's
question?
Probably.
Of course
not, because when I turn up, Faith doesn't.
She had written it down and texted it to us, so we just read it from the phone.
It's by proxy.
Well, it was a great one, and I suddenly realized at that point that, well, clearly it. Doesn't the discipline and application required for ultra running does not filter into my life in any other shape or form, pretty much. And I thought if I could work with the same dedication and single-mindedness that I've put into running to take myself from not being able to run at all to finishing at a, albeit shortened, Mont Blanc recently, wow, I'd be unstoppable. But why is it I don't do that? So that's where the thought process then led us to what may perhaps be today's brilliant topic, or we might get through 5 minutes of it and realize we've got to come up with something else.
So I'll start off with some of the bullet points that you came up with via email. One being... as a runner, you can't always go out day after day after day or race after race after race expecting that you're going to have a personal best. There's going to be some good days. There's going to be some bad days. And with work, I think that by expecting that you're going to have a home run day every day at work is not realistic. Is that what you meant by that?
That is exactly that. This was a little moment of a eureka moment that appeared on the trail while I was running with a friend of mine, and we were mulling these things over. And it occurred to me, you cycle your training and your preparation towards a big race. And if you're in a training race, then maybe, your aim is to just get the miles in. You don't expect to go out every day and to run whatever it is you're running faster and better and recover quicker than the last time. We all know that's ridiculous. It's just not possible. And yet, if I were to look at, let's say, work personal best, say in a pressure situation on a job, and I can turn around a 1,000-word feature in an hour if I have to, and it will be ready to go straight into print. And so I now think, when I have a 1,000-word feature to write, that's going to take me an hour. And of course it doesn't, you know, without the constraints of a normal working day and without the pressures that that exceptional performance would have come from, whereby, you know, you've got someone screaming in your ear for you, you're in a situation where you've got to write the piece directly. You know, you can't recreate that situation. And I still find myself coming up short, think I've got 1,000 words to write, it'll take an hour, and clearly it takes 4 or it takes 5. And then I feel disappointed because I've set myself up for this PB from the minute I started work. And of course, it hasn't happened. And yet, after years and years of work, it's only just occurred to me that that's what I'm doing. And of course, that's not possible. You can't hit a PB every time. And yet, I find I expect that from myself every day I start work. And it's completely unrealistic. And do you guys have that at all? Does that ring any bells? Or again, am I just rattling around in my own head here?
No, I'm glad I've stumbled upon this group to talk about this conversation. I think you've come up with a great one. Especially, I'm going to bring this to you, Scott, because you're in sales. And I've got to think this applies to a salesperson. And there's a lot of salespeople out there. Applies to a salesperson as much as anyone, because you're going to step in front of the right customer and you may step in front of the wrong customer with the same delivery time after time. How do you keep yourself up
those
events?
I will quote an old running philosopher that says in ultra running or in trail running, you take what the day gives you. Didn't you ever hear that?
I like it.
Didn't you ever hear that?
But I didn't know it came from a running philosopher.
You probably told me that.
Who knows what I've told you?
I don't know. He makes up stuff all the time and says that he did it. No, but I when I first started running, that somebody said, you know what? You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You take what the day gives you. And in my profession, some days where I'm not doing, you know, really putting forth a lot of effort, things just happen.
They fall in your lap.
And they fall in my lap and they just happen. And other days where I can put in a long, hard, full effort day and not see anything from it. And so I say it's all going to average out. And as long as I keep plugging along like an ultra, some miles are going to be good, some miles are going to be bad, but I'm looking for the overall average and that finish line.
That's a nice way of looking at it. So you're already incorporating certain running disciplines into your working outlook.
I do, but I have a question for you.
Who?
For Warren.
Okay. Well,
I guess I was looking at you.
You were
looking
at me and pointing at me and talking to Warren.
And I could actually see that this time.
Did you see my face just
in my head?
But did you see my face just drop down like
he went blank? When you say that you in your work set these unrealistic goals, is that before you started running or after you started running? Or do you have a better perspective now that you are a runner?
Very good question. Running has created the perspective and has made me realize what I do. It's something I've done for a long, long time. And, those personal best moments, they have to be cycled. You can't hit them every day. But also, there was a point you alluded to, and finally, the 5 o'clock in the morning thing has got to me, and I've forgotten completely what it was. So back to you.
Don, what do you think?
Well, I'm gonna redirect and say that we can take this same philosophy into personal relationships. Right, you can have that fantastic.
Don't sidestep. I want to know about your profession. How about work? Because here's Warren. Do you have do you have chiropractors in England?
They call them bone setters. Bone setters, right?
We definitely have chiropractors.
Don is a very accomplished chiropractor, and I've
told him that.
And here's my concern: whether it's a chiropractor or a doctor or a surgeon, you want those people to be doing a personal best every day, especially when they're working on you. So my question to you is, Don, How do you are you always on?
Is this recording?
Well, not for your patients. we hope your patients aren't listening.
Oh well, I don't know what to say to that. I focus, you know, and I know that, that what you're doing is of the utmost importance, and there's you have to be careful what you're doing. So you know,
you probably have a lot more pressure, I would think.
I think you just work within what that patient gives you. You don't try to push in and do more than needs to be done, and stay in this safe environment, safe zone, and making sure you help them instead of sending them out worse. And so if things aren't, there are days, I will say that there are days that, man, nothing seems to go wrong. I mean, I've said to the front desk, call everyone you know and tell them to get in here because this day is moving solid. This is fantastic. When it's not that way, I certainly don't tell them. call the rest of the patients on the schedule. Tell them not to come in. But it seems like when there's a rhythm, when there's a certain number of people coming in at the right sequence and things are just flowing, then, man, you're at your very top of the game. So I think there's a point where you're working at and you're satisfactory. Things are good, but there's other times that things are just awesome and just fantastic. But I didn't want to answer that question because I really didn't have an answer.
Okay.
I want to talk about...
He's going to change the subject.
I want to talk about relationships.
Okay.
About, you know, you have an A day and you're with your spouse, significant other, whatever, and things are fantastic. Not every day can be fantastic. Some days just have to be days that you're just going through the motions and doing things. You can't always expect that to be the, you know, Cinderella... Is that an English character? A Cinderella moment.
Queen Cinderella.
Yeah, yeah. So any comments on relationship, guys? Because we went to work, but I think, you know, relationships are also an important
component. I think you're probably right that A game, A race, PB day, you can't pull that out of the bag every day, and that there's got to be some sort of consistency in there. And also, if you did pull it out of the bag every day, it would kind of get into the situation of like Christmas every day, which would clearly become terribly tiresome.
So the A game would just become a standard fare.
Well, unless you really, you know, foul up, whether on purpose or otherwise, from time to time, you don't look good when you really put the effort in. You know, you've got to bring yourself down occasionally to give yourself some space to move into.
A strategy of mine, Warren, is often to perform at very minimal level at home. and just lay around and let the lawn go long, and then, you know, stains on my shirt, and then when I clean up, you know, not a lot of effort, I'm already looking good.
It's like, oh wow, you shaved. Yeah, amazing.
We call that sandbagging.
Yeah. Playing pool.
I remember what it was I was thinking earlier in terms of performance and personal best. When somebody sets a great personal best or even wins a race, that person, there is not only the combination of the right training, the right preparation, the right nutrition, the right relaxation, there is also, you know, all the planets have aligned for them that day. There is a little element of extra magic dust that is sprinkled onto that person's performance, which is another reason why you absolutely can't do it every day. And I think that applies just as much to work as to relationships as it does to running.
You know what? I think there is a great mystery to just what all those components and elements are. But I think it's a mystery because we don't pay attention, or we don't have the ability to gather them all up and write them all down. You have to have the right sleep, your minerals have to be right. You know, all the things you go down the line, I only listed two, but there's probably 25, right? 25 things that have to be there that we probably do have a control over a lot of them, how much sleep we get. You know, if we're doing our yoga, if you're a yoga person, or meditation, whatever it might be, that I think we can have more of those A games if we just try to align our own stars, right? The stars we have control over. Scott.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Warren Poole?
I absolutely agree, gents. I think that's wholeheartedly true. But I think also ultra running, so we have a passion and we desire to finish these races and to push our limits. And so this forces us onto a path of knowledge, which is how I come to meet you guys and how we happen to be talking at, for me, a moderately ridiculous hour, and for you, actually not too civilized either, because it's probably the middle of the evening. We are on a quest for knowledge because we want to improve. Again, throw it back to work or even personal relationships, well, you can't expect things to get better if you ignore them. You know, you have to have, you need a goal to go after, but you also need, you know, to find out knowledge and to refresh your own skills and to learn from others and develop. And that's very easy in something that you have a passion for and, you know, as something as tangible as ultra running, where it's like, well, I could run 50 miles, now I could run 70 or whatever. It's finding ways of putting that into other elements of your life and you know, learning about the bits you're missing.
Okay, so I'm going to bring it back to the trail the best I can.
Okay.
Because not that we strayed too far away, but you said you have to pay attention to some of the things that we're missing. So when the trail goes south on us, then we need to call back on some of the things we might be missing, because we certainly overlooked a few things, whether it was pace or nutrition or whatever we're doing. We've got to pay attention and align those stars. Back to my aligning stars, Scott. I'm trying to get some buy-in there. But I think we have control of our race day and our training and our efficiency out there running.
Okay. I'll buy in.
All right.
I think so.
We're like philosophers here, guys.
maybe I can skew this a little bit. Maybe it's related, maybe it's not, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. If we are, and this equates, like, of course, trail running, trail training, and work. If you're just going out there every day and doing 5 miles or whatever your normal run is on a weekday, and you're not pushing yourself to go beyond that or go faster or stronger or working on your form and maybe not putting a race schedule up there, a goal, if you will, and you're just going through the motions, you're never going to become a better runner.
I like you redirected us, Scott. That's good.
So in a professional sense, if all you're doing is showing up and doing the minimum amount of work, you're not trying to provide value to your customers or to your employer, and you're not pushing yourself and you're not setting stretch goals that are going to push you to perform at a higher level, I would say that there's probably not a whole lot of satisfaction in your work.
And you're not going to excel too much. Yeah, I mean, if you're just going
you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, you have to have those goals. Like I think this is what Warren brought up. I'll speak for him, even though he's on the line.
I'm just going to sign it from here.
it is the fact that we set a race day goal.
Yep.
And then we work towards it, and we take the building blocks to get there. Are we doing the same thing with our personal lives? Are we taking and setting a goal at work and then, or with our relationship or with whatever, and then putting a course out there to get there? The old set the goal thing, write it down, right? That we all have heard through the years, and some of us have ignored me.
I know that feeling, and it's returning that to the other parts of your life. You see, when you step back, how it works with the running. And on that goal setting subject, I don't know how you guys are at getting up in the morning, but I'm pretty awful. Left to my own devices, you know, it can take me several hours to get out of bed. yet, let's just say, that really is quite true. But if I'm training, or if I have a race, or, you know, then getting out of bed is not a problem. I have a goal. So you wake up, and instead of thinking, oh, what am I doing today? Which causes you to lie in bed for the next 2 or 3 hours. And bear in mind, I am self-employed, so this can happen quite a lot. You know, you get onto the difficult questions. What am I doing today? Which is swiftly followed by, don't think I've got any clothes to wear, which is swiftly followed by, oh, I wonder what's on, you know, what's in this book. And before you know it, it's lunchtime. So that's the situation. But on the flip side, training on a Saturday morning, I have a regular meet with a friend of mine, and we kick off at 7 a.m. and I've got to be up at 6 and out the house and meet him. I have no problem with that. I can get up at any time for a race. And there's the goal. You've also got the fact you're going to let people down, but there's the goal. The goal is, when I wake up, it's not what am I doing, it's I am doing this, and that means I have to get out of bed now. Having that definite purpose can apply back to your work life, whereby you have a goal to get you up and get you out. If your goal is just, I'm getting to the office, well, that's not really going to fire you up in the morning, is it? So it's a little rambling, but I think we might have something in there to pick some bones out of.
No, that's wise. You speak very wise, but far beyond your age, Warren Pohl.
It's not bad for an 18-year-old, eh?
So are you saying perhaps that, am I hearing, Warren? Because I know I'm guilty of this. So as I'm saying this, I'm not pointing any fingers, and you can literally see me pointing at this time, that perhaps you feel a bit guilty that you're not setting these workplace goals, and you are setting sport-specific goals.
Absolutely. It was a realization that, how can I be so motivated to get up at 6 or 5 or whatever it might be for a race or an event or to, get to meet someone? How can I be that motivated there and yet find myself malingering in bed for 3 hours on a Wednesday for no real great reason? And that's the reason. Well, there's a definite goal in the case of the training. If the case of the work is, well, I should probably start work by 9 o'clock, unless you've defined what that work is and what the end goal or even the short goal of that particular task is and the reason for it, it's very hard to get fired up to get up. And I appreciate this may be a little more open-ended given that I'm self-employed, but I think it comes back to it. You need a real focus to set a personal best. And let's face it, getting up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. is a bit of a personal best versus normal state of staying in bed for 4 hours.
Well, personal goals set either self-employed or working for someone, you still can set goals, sales goals or whatever it might be. There's plenty of goals out there for anybody, regardless of whether they're making their own check or collecting a check. So I think this applies to all of us.
I agree. So I want to move on, because this next one, next bullet point, is something that's, I think, could be a very good topic for us to discuss. So you've gotten up. You're out of bed.
And
you're sitting down at work or whatever you're doing at work. And then comes those little interruptions in your day that waste time. Talk to us about time wasters, Warren Pohl.
Well, there's a bunch of them.
There are a lot, and I'm sure they're pretty common. But, you have the idea of a time waster, an intrusion, of something that is forced upon you. And yet, in the modern day of the internet, it's just we probably force it upon ourselves. Instead of going, I should really deal with this complicated situation that I can't quite work out the answer to, instead you go, oh, look, there's a video of a kitten falling in a pond. And an hour later, there you are on Facebook sending it to people. Or and then suddenly from the kitten, you're researching the lion family. Then you get a clip of the Lion King. Then you're reading about King Henry. Then it's something about, Henry the VI, and on it goes. And then suddenly you're like, oh, it's the end of the day. I better go home. So these interruptions come into us, whether self-inflicted or whether it really is a helpful or possibly even unhelpful colleague coming and interrupting your flow. But either way, along they come, and I'm terrible. I'm awful. And again, your question last time got me thinking, well, how can I focus to run for 10, 12, 15, whatever hours? And yet, how can I be so awful at work that literally if someone even mentions the words kitten and pond, then that's me gone for the rest of the day. So, I mean, do you guys suffer that problem, or are you disciplined machines at work?
I'll tell you my
kitten. You answer first, and then it's me.
I'll tell you my kitten and pond is Trail Runner Nation. I enjoy, is there something on Twitter? Because it'd be irresponsible for us not to, address something in a timely manner.
Answer something that tweeted 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's important. You got to stay with that.
Warren, I'm not self-employed. I work for someone, but I'm in control of my own schedule. And so there are certain days I spend in my home office like you do, and then certain days that I'm out of that office. And I have the toughest time when I'm in my office at home, because I'm usually, in my sweatpants or heaven forbid, just sitting in my underwear, working all day long.
I'll edit that out.
and I have certain things that I need to get done that day. But then, like you, I look at a YouTube clip or something like that, and all of a sudden I'm going, hey, that's really interesting. And before I can even understand what happened. 3 hours have gone by where I haven't done any work, and all I've done is wasted time. So I'm right with you.
Absolutely. And then on top of that, you can get the days where, I mean, I bet that you are not, at the end of that day, unproductive. I bet at the end of that day, you've achieved your goals that needed to be done. Otherwise, you would be, unemployed, homeless, and may not have made it to the podcast today. So clearly, there is a balance there, and it works. But you achieve those things, and I've had very similar days. You described my working life perfectly. And then it's like, if I just got my head down, I could have done that in 3 hours and had the afternoon off. But instead, if I've just got a 3 hour task to do, I will fill it out for the whole day by constantly wasting time. And that would never apply to the trail. You don't get on a trail and start and go, well, hey, I'm just going to stop and look at this plant for a bit, do you?
I'm gonna take my shoes and socks off and put my feet in the river here for about 3 hours.
Yeah, or maybe I'll see what's on Twitter. You just don't.
Actually, if you've run with Don, sometimes he does check his Twitter when he's running.
Oh, you know what? On your cell phone. I do not carry a phone on the trail run, my friend.
I carry one. Yeah, I think that, you're right. I think that one thing about runners in general, maybe trail runners or ultra runners, but I think runners or athletes in general is many times they're type A, which means they set their goals. So even though I get distracted, and I'm sure you're the same way, Warren, even though you get distracted, you've set goals. And by the end of the day, it may be a long day, but you're going to get those goals taken care of before you call it a day.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think a lot of people will find the same thing as that, because you're right. There's going to be some common personality traits among us. But it's that thing of put it on the trail. Did you want to, A, finish that 50-miler when it was dark and everyone had gone home because you just kind of walked or stopped or stopped and read a book in the middle or looked up kittens on the internet or got onto your Twitter feed and just went, well, I'm going to finish at some point. And so 20 hours later, well, yeah, I've achieved my goal. I finished this race. But you wouldn't feel very good about it. But on a work day, that seems to be acceptable behavior, or certainly has become in my working life, to when there isn't a screaming deadline, to spend 8 hours doing a 3 hour task, which is a massive waste of time. And then comes back to the balance of, well, some days you just got to go with it. You know, that's an easy day. Other days you've got to go, look, I got to really sort myself out here and build up to some sort of personal best. And I don't know, cycle the rhythm of work between hard days and softer days, which again comes back to goal setting. So you work out which ones are which.
So it's kind of like we have an 8 hour work day. That's what we have. You know, we're supposed to have about 8 hours, but if you're self-employed, sometimes it can be much more. It'd be nice to have only 8 hours. So you have an 8 hour work day and you kind of stretch things out. And if I ran that as a parallel over to the trail, if I'm going to run 8 hours, if I only have 3 hours to run, I mean 3 miles to run, I'm still going to use all 8 hours to do it. I think we stretch our activity into those 8 hours. And if we don't have a lot of stuff pushing us, then we fill it with Twitter and kitties and ponds. And for Scott, stoves. He likes to look at alcohol stoves. And so
stoves, you say?
Yeah, so I think we just fill our 8 hours with something, unless it's pushing us.
I think that could be true, but it's just imagine if say you have one of those days when you're working at home, which I assume would be slightly harder for you, Don. Does that ever happen? Do patients ever come to you and save you the trouble of having to go to the office?
Sometimes they call him at home.
No, only my wife and children, I think, would be the home patients.
But then you've got that. I know I've completely lost where we were with this one. Sorry,
we're rubbing off on you. We're rubbing off on you, Warren.
Maybe I need a bit more sleep at this time of the
morning. Well, let's move on then. You also bring up another good point that sometimes big projects or big work goals, or whether it may be a personal relationship, need to be broken up into smaller pieces. You know, the old metaphor that you can eat an elephant one bite at a time.
You are full of metaphors tonight.
I am. Yep.
It is a night for philosophy. It's like being in ancient Greece.
We're the lesser known philosophers.
I'm sure in time to come this will be seminal work remembered by archaeologists.
I don't think Aristotle got diverted by kittens and pawns.
He wasn't respected in his day, much like us.
Yes, hopefully. That would be a comforting thought.
So, you know, the one thing that has been very valuable to me coming into this ultra-running sport is realizing that I can accomplish some pretty amazing things or what other people may think are amazing things that I now know are not that amazing. But I think that I firmly believe that anybody could run 50 miles or run a marathon. Anybody can do it. But I think that it's for me in my personal life has given me the confidence that, you know what, that is, that does look right now like an insurmountable task. But if I set medium, smaller goals and just work at it bit by bit, like if you're going out for a 50 mile or 100K or
to eat an elephant,
however long the distance is. And I will equate this to my last race that I had at mile 27 of this 50 mile run. I was done. I just did not want to run anymore. I wasn't into it. I just felt it was a bad day for me. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go to the next aid station. And I got to the next aid station and things were looking up, feeling a little bit better. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to the next aid station. So I wasn't thinking I still have to run another 23 miles to finish this thing. I broke it up into these medium goals. And I think that in our work and our personal lives, I think that that's something that we can transfer.
I would agree with that completely because, again, and this is something that ultra running has shone a light on this for me, that running 100 miles, running a 50 miles, running your first marathon, you can't think about the goal as a whole the entire time. It's one of the most basic things. You know, don't race with what you haven't trained with. Don't try and, you know, take on your goal all in one go. Break it down, attack those constituent parts. And exactly like you said, Scott, when you are, when you're all out, when you're in one of those horrible dark moments on the trail, when it just, everything has gone wrong, you know that if you keep going, that you will come through that. And one of the motivations can be to break it down and to go, well, instead of thinking, my God, I feel awful and I've got 20 hours to go, then you can say, well, I can get to the next aid station. And when things are really bad, you look ahead and go, well, I can get to that tree. And, you know, when you get to that tree, you're looking to the next one. I can get to that little break in the trail or whatever it may be. And I think that can be the same, exactly the same with work. I can sit down and, you know, in my job writing, then it'll be, well, I've got a 1,000 or a 2,000 word piece to write. If I sit down and go write 1,000 words, that's the point when I start looking for the kittens online. that's when distraction rears its head. Whereas if I go, I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to get up for 40 minutes and I'm going to write 200 words, you know, just to get this piece going or whatever it may be. That breaks it down. And I think maybe that's harder to do with a patient, Don. Well, maybe I'll just do this foot and I'll come back to that. I don't know if that's possible.
You know, Don has a lot more projects than just cracking backs, as we call it here in the United States.
At least
that's what I call it, cracking backs. You know, he has some other business ventures that he works on. And I know that some of them can be pretty large, audacious goals, and he's very good at breaking those down into smaller bite-sized pieces.
Sometimes I think about the time, and see, let me know if you guys can identify with this, and you listening on your iPods, you know, you feel free to participate.
Just say it out loud as you're running down the trail. Yeah. I agree. Don's full of crap.
Well, that's true. Now, I sometimes think about, and I always, I'll make a disclaimer that in the end, I decide not to, right? But sometimes I think all the time and energy that I put into running, I should just stop and put that into professional life and just make a new goal and define a new finish line and put all of that energy there, because in the end, I will be much further and accomplish much more. And this may be a whole, this may be a big distraction for me. I may be sabotaging myself with these hours on the trail. But then I think, you know, the time I'm most creative and most productive and I solve the most problems is when I'm running and when I feel fit and when I feel sharp. And if I'm not doing that running, then I won't be able to be creative and do these other things. And so this sounds, feels like an internal conversation I'm having, but I don't expect you guys to interrupt me, but I'm just saying, I kind of went full circle that sometimes I think, gosh, maybe I shouldn't be spending all this time in this crazy sport. And other times, if I don't spend time in this sport, then I probably won't accomplish anything in my professional life either. So that's where I'm at. Any comments, gentlemen?
I have a question for Warren on that same line. You know, Warren, as a writer, as a creative writer, do you ever get to the point where you just have a writer's block and you just say, screw it, I'm going to go for a run, and that helps you recapture that those creative juices, if you will?
That absolutely does happen. I think there is an element of delivering features to deadlines. Then sometimes you learn pretty early on that you've just got to get it done. And I guess there is an element of accepting that, like Don said earlier, there are some days when it's just, you know, everything's okay. You can do a good job, but it's not your absolute A game. But on the days when I have the luxury of a bit of time, if I am stuck, it is much, much more productive. If I'm stuck and I fall into the time-wasting kittens ponds scenario, that's destructive. If I'm stuck and I go for a run, that is productive. Mm-hmm. That is empowering, liberating. You're right, it frees those cogs and back you come, which I think feeds back into what Don was saying, that the trail is very good for us. And, you know, too much of anything is a bad thing. And if we spend all our time on the trail, then clearly we'll be hobos living out of trash cans. that is not good. But on the same time, if we never go on the trail, we'll be fat people dying of heart attacks who are unproductive, unmotivated, and probably deeply unloved.
Ooh, that's powerful words from Warren Pohl. If you do not get on the trail, you will be a fat hobo, unloved.
That's deeply unloved.
Deeply unloved. So keep running, nation.
Run because you want to be loved.
Deeply loved.
And that's the one.
Yeah, that's. I think there are so many people that I have spoke to on the trail that identify with that, with the comments that we've just made. It's about high quality of life, about being out there. Really changes how we're able to participate with one another.
I'll throw a round
that
table.
Didn't mean anything.
I'll throw a round table question out there for you, to Don and to Warren. Do you find that the people that you know that are trail runners or ultra runners are, as a whole or average, are they more successful than non-runners? Successful in life, in their work, and in their personal lives?
Warren, do you do Rochambeau over there?
Rochambeau? Is that a sushi dish?
Rock, paper, scissor?
Ah, rock, paper, scissors. Yes, we do some rock, paper, scissors. Not too much, but it happens.
All right.
only after looking for kittens that are jumping in ponds.
When the internet connection's down, definitely.
Yeah, it is a slow game, isn't it?
When the power goes out. Woohoo!
All right, go ahead, Warren. Answer. You go first.
He's gonna defer to you. He's gonna make you put you on the spot.
Okay, ultra running friends. I think are they more successful? I think it depends how you define success. I think the instant idea of success in our world is how rich they are, how this, how that. And I think my ultra running friends are a very diverse bunch in terms of their jobs and their incomes and their lives. But they all have a unifying strand, and they are driven, entertaining, self-starting people They have a broader interest in their lives. And I think they have more open minds to new experiences than some of my equally close friends who don't run. So there's definitely a characteristic there, and it's definitely positive. And I think we would all regard it as successful, but I'm not sure that someone from outside of running would necessarily regard it as successful. But I feel running gives you a perspective that is more open-minded and generally positive. Did we get anywhere with that? I seem to talk myself around in a circle, but I think there was something.
No, I think that you're saying if you were to poll your running friends and say, do you feel like you're successful, that they would say yes. The majority of them would say yes.
I think that praises it nicely, and that the non-running friends may not have quite such a broad view of what success might mean.
Okay. Don, any thoughts or feelings on that subject?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what I enjoy most about the ultra community, because that's part of the – I can kind of position the question that way, is they're full of optimists, people that you know, they don't look at the downside of anything. They're going to look at the upside. And things go south, they work through those things time after time on the trail. And those same negative things happen in life, and they work right through them, just like they would on the trail. And I love that they've practiced it. I love their positive attitude about it, and nothing's going to get them down. And heck, some of the most challenging things really happen to us on the trail, where your stomach has gone south, you're cold, you're a long ways from getting home. There are not too many people in the civilized world today, and I say civilized, they put themselves in that spot. They're always comfortable. There's food and water just within arm's reach. They have a jacket if they're cold. You know, they can do anything to keep themselves and modify their environment. But when you're out on a trail and you have ruined your electrolyte balance, and your bottles are empty, and you're 10 miles away from any relief, that's a tough spot to be, and you did it to yourself. But people work through it, and they're optimists. If you tell them, I've got an idea, I want to do this, they won't go to you, you're a crazy fool. They'll say, you know, that's possible. Let's kind of work through it. That's interesting. So I just like the positive attitude and character, the positive characteristics of the ultra community.
You know, one of the other things that I like that kind of parlays into that, I like the word parlay, by the way.
It's a good word.
That, you know, some of the people that we know, Don, that we run with are successful in their careers, and it's fun to run with them and talk through our work lives and say, you know, this is what I'm doing at work, this is what I'm struggling with at work, and getting a different perspective and maybe even some life lessons from them. And I find that very enjoyable. And you and I, as we run together, you know, we're always talking about business. You know, you're telling me about things that you're doing, and I tell you things about what I'm doing, and it's nice to bounce ideas off of each other and challenge each other.
And they're always supportive, and there's not a lot of negativity. I mean, you could say, well, I don't think that's, here are a few flaws, and you might want to consider this, but it's always working towards solution, much like trying to work yourself out of a bonk or a problem. And we're talking about a metabolic bonk.
Working yourself out of a bonk. That's one you have
said,
to be
said careful. No man ever.
on the tube in London, that's one guaranteed to get you two seats to yourself.
Oh my goodness.
Go ahead.
What is that bumper sticker? Honk if you're no, never
what?
Mind. I don't know. I can edit that. What is it? 57:49. Go ahead, Warren.
You were talking about you know, people you run with, and I think there can be two types of relationship. There is the one type where you have a close friend who you run with, and that because you're both experiencing the same difficulties and the same challenges on the trail, you can be very supportive of one another, and you can perhaps even you know, in an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever on the trail, probably talk about more than you would have done in 4 hours in the pub, because invariably after 2 hours you don't remember what the conversation was about. So there's value added there to those relationships. Then on the other side, the triad is a great leveler. It doesn't matter if you're running with the CEO of a company or a chef or someone who's a bus driver. You're all on the trail. That there's a sort of common bond there that allows us all to learn from each other. And that can filter back into our regular lives as well. And I think that was probably what I was mentioning when my friends who don't run are slightly less open-minded or can be.
We have a friend that's a CEO of a growing and medium-sized company at this point.
Very successful.
And he brings some of his new key employees out on a trail run and just kind of gets to know them and watches how they,
they can suffer.
See their attitude.
All the ones who don't finish.
Well,
exactly.
He kind of looks at their attitude and how they're confronted with a little adversity. And he's not trying to make everybody run 25 miles. I mean, if it's a 5 mile run or a 3 mile run, whatever, but he's just watching their attitudes when adversity hits, and he doesn't try to outrun them or flex his muscle, but he's just watching attitude. I think that's a nice place for an interview.
That's why Don and I haven't been hired by him, because we didn't pass the litmus test.
You were too busy enjoying yourselves, no doubt, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Actually having fun.
Any other topic? Any other thoughts there, Don?
No, I think
the fun thing about this, and we've talked about this many, many times. I can't remember if we've talked about it on a podcast or whether it was just me and you on a run, Don, that the fun thing about running is you can make running a metaphor for pretty much anything if you think about it for a little while. And tonight we've thought about it for a little while and have equated running with our work life. Successfully, I might add.
Amen to that. I think there are work life can feed into running, running can feed into work life, and we've all got to find some balance. But one of the last little things for me was, if I'm in the middle of something and it is not going well, and I'm tempted to go look for the kittens and the ponds, and I just think, imagine that this was a trail run. Imagine that I'm in the middle of a run by looking at the kittens and the ponds. That is the same thing as just stopping in the middle of the run. I would never do that. I am not at the aid station yet. I have not written my 200 words or whatever my next goal is. So I'm just going to keep going until I get to that. And then you get the break. And, life is clearly an ultra marathon.
I appreciate participating in this conversation, because I do realize I need to structure much of my own personal and work life with the same discipline as a training run or a race. And I just need to do that. And there is room for work and your relationship and your running if you are efficient. And I think sometimes it's good to watch a cat drown in a pond or whatever you're talking about, Warren.
But they don't drown.
Oh, I haven't seen that
what
one.
What sort of crazy word is that? This is funny stuff, not macabre.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just offended Warren.
I'm sorry, Warren. I didn't realize you had such an affection for kitties. And so I think there's a time and a place, and you do need to take a little bit of a break, and watch that. But
you
not...
need it to. That's why there's aid stations on long runs.
Very good.
It's finding that balance to everything. You can't come out flat out of the blocks every day, and if you killed yourself at personal best pace in every element of your life every day, not only would you be a dull person, but you'd probably be disappointed too. Whereas cycling all those things up and down, be it work, personal, or running, can be good for us, I believe.
Well, you could blow up in any relationship or work if you're 100% full out, just like if you went out to a long ultra run and started out too fast. You do have to pace yourself. So
you need to run with the mayor.
What is your work pace? That's right. We'll go over that, Scott. What is your work pace, strategy, all those things. Now, running with the mayor, Scott, full circle. That's how we started this, because all of that in the beginning is just going to hang. We're going to keep it there, because that's good stuff.
Oh, you mean the pre-podcast?
The pre-podcast. Yeah, it's part of the podcast.
Great.
So running with the mayor is the purpose of Trail Runner Nation. We have redefined our goals,
our mission
and aspiration.
Our mission statement
has been changed.
So when you're at work and the boss says, where's that report? You can say, well, it'll be ready in about 20 hours. I'm running with the mayor.
And they'll go, what?
That report, sir, is with the mayor.
I think we've probably changed a lot of people's lives, or possibly just ours today. What do we think?
I was going to say this is one of those podcasts that's about absolutely nothing, but completely fun for me.
You might say it's analogous to an hour's worth of kitty. I've got a word, and I can't say one of them.
I know what you were thinking.
You
I know
too.
Exactly what you were thinking.
Well, your face made me think that I was going the wrong way. Kitty as in cat, Scott.
Of course, that's what we were always talking about.
Good. Warren, thank you for joining. I know it's hard for you to get up in the morning, especially now that we know that it takes you about 3 hours to wake up in the morning.
Have a goal like this, gentlemen.
This is probably one of those good examples of – you know, the alarm goes off at 4 o'clock and you know exactly what your goal is. And that is to put on your beanie, get your couple of Earl Grey with a spot of milk, no lemon, no sugar, and sit in front of your computer for an hour and talk about kitties.
Exactly that. Without a good defined goal in life like that, we are all going nowhere. And I thank you both for shining a light onto that dark corner of my life.
The good news is, Warren, it's not as late early now. Boy, I am in left field. It's later now. It's better. It's better now, Warren. It's not as early.
Warren, we Americans have a grasp on the English language like you will never know.
The King's language. The King's English. We're wrapping up about 3 hours and 30 minutes of straight podcasting, Warren. So
give us a break.
My tongue is a knot.
It's a marathon effort from you. I mean, I have merely sat here on the sidelines and done a quick hour. And let's face it, it's getting to that nearly sort of breakfast time. So I believe over there, 3.5 hours straight, you've powered through. And it's been a privilege to see the studio in full glorious Technicolor as we spoke tonight and as you shut down for the evening.
Thank you, Warren. Appreciate it. We'll link your website, and people can go on and see some of the entertaining videos and read some of the entertaining articles on there. I know that I actually need to get back there because I remember when we first met Warren, I spent a lot of time on your website, not stalking you, but just enjoying the content that was on there.
Driving a Rolls Royce across the field.
Riding Lance Armstrong's road bike.
Not taking his drugs, by the way. I'm going to have to add a disclaimer to that old piece, but it was all about the bike in that case.
Yeah.
And about how many needles I could stick in my arm.
Riding a motorcycle on a dirt track and sliding out and crashing into a wall. I've seen him do that.
Yes. In Poland, no less.
Well, anyway, we appreciate you joining us, Warren. You're always welcome to come on. I think we have another podcast already in the making, which is going to be a kind of an interesting skew. We're not going to let the cat out of the bag or the kitten out of the pond, as it will. But Trail Runner Nation members, thanks for joining. Hope you had a good run this morning, this evening, this afternoon, wherever you were running. We hope we brought a little light into your day. We hope that we helped you set some business goals so that you can be more successful. go to trailrunnernation.com. Go to Twitter. Go to Facebook. Heck, go to YouTube and put in Trail Runner Nation. Something may just pop up. But more importantly, get out of bed. Go out and run.
Mas. Oh, Warren Pohl, that was a good time.
Beautiful, gentlemen.
Shoot, I'm stepping in harder to see.